All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This show is brought to you by The Makery, the podcast network for makers.
Sorry, Jesus Christ. Sorry, right into the microphone. Wow. Hey guys, I'm sorry. I've been getting over a cold. This is Marco Malmasi coughing into your ears. This is the Knife Talk podcast. We're here to keep you company in the shop during your commute, while you're hand sanding, here to answer your questions, troubleshoot your dilemmas, help you, you know, work through your beefs, give each other a hard time. But more than anything, we're just here to help be a part of the community. And we thank you all for being here and joining us for this conversation. I'm here, as always, with Jeff Fader of Fader Knives and Craig Lockwood of Chop Knives and the 355s. Oh, boy, that kind of rolls off the tongue a little bit. Anyways, we usually kick it off by starting off kind of recounting the last week, and yeah, we'll do it from there. Craig, how you been? How's the last week?
Okay, just one of those weeks of nothingness, really, you know? Just, you know, every day is like Sunday, you know? It's one of those days, one of those weeks. And we're just talking off air, myself and Jeff, before you got here. Everybody I'm speaking to at the moment just seems to be feeling the same, just like... Come on, they want something to happen. You know, they want the sun to come out. They want spring to come. And they just, I don't know. It just seems as if it's been a long winter again. But I'm fine. I've nothing to complain about. Nothing to complain about, but nothing to shout about either, to be honest with you.
Okay. Well, you know.
No performances or anything?
Nothing this week, no. So I was back in the UK last week, well, the week before last, yeah. For a flying visit. But no, nothing this week, no.
Okay. Well, just to let you know, Craig.
Yes.
Mareko and I whipped your ass in our Super Bowl predictions by like a mile.
I did see. Yes. Yeah. I didn't actually watch the Super Bowl, but the next day
I know. I texted you. I didn't hear back. I figured you'd gone to sleep. Yeah. You didn't miss anything except for a real ass whipping. So, yeah.
Was it real one sided?
Oh, but I mean, it was like you could have turned it off at the halftime show. It was the crazy. So the Eagles beat the brakes off
did,
of
apparently
everyone. Yeah, apparently, most people just assumed that the Chiefs were going to just roll the whole thing. Mm. It was like their worst game they ever played, and the Eagles played perfectly. Their defense was amazing. Some of the plays were pretty incredible, but they just rolled them. I mean, it was like it was ass whipping.
Yeah. Mm. It was pretty impressive.
Mareko, did you get to go to the game?
I did not.
Whoa, you didn't?
Something
okay.
Weird just showed up on my screen. Are you still getting all the tracks?
Yeah.
Okay,
yes,
cool.
Yes, we're going.
All right. No, I didn't. I went and hung out with some friends of my sister's. Really nice folks. They have a couple places. They go between St. Louis, Missouri, and in New Orleans. So they were kind of rooting for the Chiefs. Even though I think I might have been maybe one of the only people rooting for the Eagles because I was there for our boys, Butch and Jesse. Well, and I guess Mr. Pellegrino as well. But anyways, yeah, no, I was impressed by the game and the performance of the Eagles because apparently they had played the Chiefs earlier in the year and lost to them already. And so people thought they were going to just get their asses handed. But yeah, they were ahead, what, 30-some-odd to zero?
It was a
34-0
it was
by halftime.
It was an ass-whipping. It was ass-whipping.
Or just before halftime.
And it was the
woke up.
The crazy part is like they played 2 years ago, and the Chiefs just handled them. And the whole thing was, you know, the whole thing is the Chiefs have so much Super Bowl experience that you're able to kind of compete at that high level. And they just, like, and they were terrible. And then the Eagles are just amazing. So did you get to watch it in New Orleans? What was New Orleans like during Super Bowl? I hear it was kind of
crazy.
I
tried to stay away from all the bullshittery as much as I could.
Oh, you didn't see any of it?
No, I was at my sister's friend's house, which is great. It was like the place was basically a fucking New Orleans mansion. Pool in the back, you know, 12-foot ceilings, 3 floors, massive, and just like beautifully decorated spot. So it was really nice to go and just kind of chill out, low key. They had a projector actually over the pool onto the house next to them because there's no windows on that side of the house. So
yeah.
they had the game projecting up above the swimming pool on the wall, on the neighbor's wall. But yeah, no, it's just I tried to stay away from all that stuff. I didn't go down there to go to the game. I did teach a class down there. It was a really great class, actually, at the Chappapila Craft Center. Had a lot of fun with that. My sister set up kind of a meet and greet thing because she's like, you have a bunch of fans down here. You should do a meet and greet. But it was like in a bar, and half the people in the bar weren't there to like, it was a small bar. And half the people weren't even there for me. So and they put me on a fucking microphone and a PA system. I'm like telling my story poetry slam style in the middle and in the corner.
I'm cringing here. I'm puckering up.
It did not feel very comfortable. It was very awkward. But by the time I got through it, it was fine. I was just glad it was over.
Oh,
was
God. Sure. That sounds...
That
one time something like that happened to me. I had a job interview years ago with this is a long time ago, with a design firm. And I was supposed to be getting an interview. Well, I was supposed to bring slides, bring all this. This is when we had slides. I brought everything, and they told me to set up in the break room. Like, set up in the break room? What are you talking about? They miscommunicated what I was supposed to. They told me that one group was telling me I was going for an interview. And then when I got there, they had me do a presentation during the coffee break for like all the staff. And I was like super duper not prepared, but I just did it anyway. And I was like, this is the worst thing in the world. And I had just picked up a welder and I popped a blood vessel in my eye. So one of my eyes was bright red.
Oh, cool.
It was fucking terrible, but like that whole thing of like getting no one's there to everyone's just getting coffee and I'm supposed to like do this. I feel for you, dude. That sounds like such a
I mean, you were actually one of my first things I ever did at JB Prince Company.
Yeah.
That was not also the smoothest, but that was probably the first one I've ever done.
Yeah, but you've done a few. Yeah, but you gain. That's different than being in a bar and everyone's there.
Yeah,
that's why
I was like, if it's a dedicated space, like the people, almost basically all the people are there to hear what I have to talk about, whether it's knives or whatever the fuck. That's a different question. They're a different scenario versus half of these fuckers are here because it's
Mardi Gras
evening out, and they're trying to hang out with their, you know, their friends or their sweetheart, or some ding dongs in the corner with a fucking microphone, talking about how he forges blades and all this stupid shit.
Did you say, "Hey, all my fans, how are you? I'm here."
Yeah, that's exactly. Oh,
shut the fuck up.
I'll sign your aprons after.
Yeah. Jesus Christ.
Exactly.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that was super cool. But yeah, the class was super fun.
Nice.
And then I watched the Super Bowl and then took it easy on the flight home. Actually, I was looking for a place to sit once I got to my gate, and my gate was just jam packed. And the airport was a fucking mess because it was a goddamn like tsunami of ding dongs trying to leave New Orleans all at the same time.
Yeah.
Right after the Super Bowl.
100%.
But right across, like, there's the main like walkway or causeway or whatever where you can go to all the different gates. Across, there was a couple seats open, so I walked over there, and I'm walking up, and there's this dude sitting, and I was like, huh, that guy looks like Chef Andrew Zimmern. And as I got closer, I was like, holy fuck, I think that is him. And I sat down, I was like, what's up, Chef, how are you? I'd met him a couple of times, but I hadn't seen him in a few years. And we just chummed it up, chatted a little bit, and he was waiting for his gate to go back to Minneapolis. But it was cool to run into him. He's a nice dude. I think he's a pretty interesting guy, and yeah. Whoa, goodness.
Yeah, sorry. Yes, yeah,
coughing into the microphone, sneezing. Yeah,
the two of you.
All right, Jeff, you're gonna fart. You gotta make sure you put the microphone right where your ass.
Don't worry about that. Well, you worry about you. Yeah, that was it. Excuse me. Pardon me, madam. That sounds like it sounds like a good trip. Did you eat anything good?
Did I? Oh, actually, I hadn't. Have you ever had boudin?
Yes.
It doesn't sound like you enjoyed it. Yeah.
I loved it. It's like, no. It's fine. It's nothing. It's like a very mealy sausage, very finely ground.
Yeah, blood sausage. Yeah.
Well, this is like a boudin blanc.
Yeah.
So
it's like, and the way they do it down in New Orleans is like rice and chopped and cooked offal and spices, and it was fucking delicious. But they also do a crawfish flavored one, which sounded sketchy as shit, but it was also super delicious.
All right. There you go.
Yeah. No, it was awesome. That was probably one of the, like, honestly, like the top things. Oh, I ate boiled peanuts for the first time. I never had boiled peanuts before.
Southern classic.
It's, I guess it's a long prep of, you know, soaking and then boiling and seasoning and all this shit, and it takes a long time. But they were shockingly delicious.
Like a paste, is it? Or what does that make?
Well, it's still in the shell, and so it has a little bit of body to it, but it's like a, I don't know what to liken the texture.
I think I've never had it, but I think it's like if you have edamame or something like that.
Yeah,
you
know, yeah, exactly. It's like edamame texture. Yeah.
So you just get some nuts in your mouth, you suck on them a little bit, and you know, bingo, bango, bongo.
There you go. Always works.
Otherwise, yeah, no. I think it was pretty good. It was a good trip. I'm glad to be back home, though.
Yeah.
What about you, Jeff?
Jeff, what's been going on?
We've been working our asses off trying to just keep, it's been a lot of like doing work on building inventory and trying to work with, different people. And right now, this past week's been on the slower side. We've been getting a few sales, but it's been like when things are like, you know, now we have this new system where we're replenishing. So I have all these stock things, and if something sells, we just immediately start to make, you know, replenish, which has been a really good system. And we're getting ready to, newsletter is going to come out. We're going to start to add new things to the website, and I'm trying to get some stuff ready for, more photographs. So made some new, steak knives that are going to go down. And then we made a decision on some integrals that are going to go on the website. So I'm forged out a couple integrals. It's going to be a while before I get them ready, only a week or so. And, you know, we're just cruising. I frankly, what we started in with this week could be over. I love it if this week was over. I'm like dreading. Last night I came home and I was in the basement, kind of, and I noticed when on the sink drain that leads to the first floor where our kitchen is, I saw this little bit of water. I was like, what is that? Shit. And I went upstairs and I went under the sink and I saw this little pinhole in the drain. It is an old house. It's old metal pipes. Obviously, it started corroded. I put my finger on it and it just like collapsed, like seam of the thing is. So I ran to Home Depot and I got all this bullshit and I was like, I'm ready to go to bed, you know. And now I got to replace the drain for two floors, and I'm not looking forward to it. There's a lot of home stuff I got to do that I feel like I just don't want to do it, but I have to. So I'm dreading a lot of home repair, frankly. And look, everything's, it could be worse, you know, it could be a lot worse, but everything's fine. Doing our thing, making it happen, you know, you gotta smile a little bit, make a joke here and there and blah, 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 you know, so.
Yep, muddle your way through. That's it, right? Right then, what have we got on the show today?
We got a lot.
What are we going
to
be doing?
We have a lot. Now, we've been doing, we have obviously listener questions. If you listen to us and you want to follow along and you want to submit questions or dilemmas or pranks, apparently pranks are big right now. Go to Knife Talk Podcast on Instagram. Well, the last couple episodes, we started talking about pranks, and people have been sending in pranks that have happened to them. So we have lots of listener pranks. We have lots of listener feedback. We have lots of new questions. And I don't think we're going to need it, but I still have a lot of weird news if we get into the weeds. However, one of the things I thought we could just talk about real quick before we get into it was last week, we were talking about this. There was an article that Idris Elba has got a new documentary out about knife crime in the UK. And
I think it's out now on Amazon. I think I've seen the ads for it. Yeah.
And we talked about it last week, Mareko, about like his whole thing is there's big knife crime in the UK and they're trying to figure out ways in which they can make culinary knives rounded. And it was all about knife crime, knife crime, knife crime. We talked about it a little bit, but one thing that we didn't talk about is, well, before we get into what we didn't talk about, it was interesting conversation, and I thought maybe you would want to chime in, Mareko. But I mean, this, the whole idea of these guys are focusing on culinary knives being rounded, so there's not a tip to be, pointed, stabbed at.
I mean, I understand trying to adjust the things, but the problem is whoever is wielding these weapons, it doesn't fucking matter. They're either gonna grind, they're gonna go get themselves a grinder, or find somebody with a fucking angle grinder, and they're gonna make a bunch of either prison shivs, or they're gonna find something else. Like, there's all kinds of shit out there. I think the problem is figuring out why getting rid of the tools, I guess, or the weapons is not going to change the mindset of the person who thinks, I want that shit that that person has. I'm going to fucking take it, whether it's with my fists, with a rock in a sock, or with a fucking pen at their throat. It doesn't fucking matter. They're going to do it. They're going to turn anything into a weapon.
Yeah. That's so, pretty much what we sort of agreed on last week, that it's more of a sort of social, economic issue.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. They'll use something else if it's not a knife. Well, I do like the idea of a rock in a sock.
One thing that we didn't talk about was how ironic and obnoxious it is when people in Hollywood who spend their days and the jobs they get are in these movies where they're... Idris Elba, he shot a lot of people in Hollywood. You know, he shot a lot of people in his movies.
Yes.
He stabbed people in his movies. He glorifies violence. I've said this years ago, but I believe that at some point there needs to be some sort of accounting from people in Hollywood that they are, you know, they're creating movies and TV shows that obviously you get to kind of step away from the reality and you get to enjoy something, but it's all also antisocial. So,
well, it's
what
glorifying violence.
It's glorifying violence, which is fine.
Turn around and then speak against it.
For Idris Elba or whatever his fucking name
Idris
is,
Elba.
Idris Elba,
Jessica
Elba, Idris. I love him. I think he's awesome. But I've seen him pop a few people in the face with a gun too. So it's just like, but just don't, you know. Let's take a little bit of responsibility. Those guys are the original influencers, you know. These guys, they don't take any responsibility. Yeah. They tell you what they talk out of both sides of their mouth. Do as I say, don't as I do. Give me a break.
That's a really good point that we didn't mention last week. Actually, you're right.
It's like I saw him hit somebody with a brick or something. Not a brick. He was in a fucking comic book movie. He got all these guns. He's stabbing people, and all of a sudden he's telling me to bring in my fucking culinary knife to get rounded off. Get the fuck out of here. Maybe why don't you do something else with your life?
He's got a great voice for narrating, though.
Oh, he's fantastic. I love him. We're watching a lot more TV. I have some TV recommendations, by the way. We've been watching a lot more TV shows that are violent as hell. But at the same time, I'm not going to go copy them. I'm not going to tell you two to, you know, don't do it. Give me a break. That's it.
Yeah.
That was that.
Okay. Rant over.
Right.
Okay. Okay, questions then, I suppose.
Yeah.
If you've got questions, we are Knife Talk Podcast on Instagram. Get them over to us, DM them to us, rather, and we'll add them to the list. Stu Lind, I think the name is. Stu Lind has done it exactly that from Rule 9 Knives. He says, a lot of people have a bunch of big tools.
Hey, baby.
Seen the pictures, eh? but we all know you can make a good knife without them. What do you think is the tool you see people buying they think they need, but they don't really need?
Good question.
Mm.
Particularly for me. Is that your problem? You buy too many tools you don't need?
Yeah. The shiny. Yeah, it's a problem.
Canophile.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, we've talked about this. I think there's basically three things that you need to be able to make great knives, really, whether you're stock removal or, you know, you're forging, and, you know, a good kiln, a grinder, and maybe a drill press would help a lot. Anything above that, I mean, if it makes you quicker, more productive, I think it can be justified. But I mean, myself, I try to justify the silliest of things, and in my crazy little rat brain, I think, yeah, yeah, that'll make me so much better. That'll make me so much quicker. And it doesn't, because half the time you just spend the time fiddling and it's just another distraction from what I need to be doing. But yeah, big tools that you've seen people buy that don't necessarily need. Maraca, what do you think?
I feel like surface grinders maybe is a thing. Unless you really need that material, like you're doing some sort of production, whether it's making Damascus or somehow using a surface grinder in the production of your knives to make sure everything's consistent, thickness and all that. Outside of that, like, there isn't much use for them. I haven't used a surface grinder in, like, 14 years. I don't use a surface grinder for anything. And so I think, and they can kind of be like, they're sometimes they can be large machines that take up quite a large footprint. And if you're doing folders where like a lot more precision.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, Geico helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with Geico.
And is necessary, that's it's great. Surface grinder is a great tool, but if you're not doing a lot of that work, if you're doing integrals or non-integrals, you're doing hunters or chefs, anything in between, like, you can get a lot done without that surface grinder attachment or tool. Because again, like, especially the giant surface grinders can take up like a 6 foot or yeah, like a 6 foot by 3 foot footprint. It's quite large. Yeah, yeah. And so I actually had one when I moved to the Dragon's Breath Forge shop. I brought one with me from Washington. And when I left, I just left it because I had already had it for a couple of years at that point already. And after a couple of years in Connecticut, I was like, I still haven't done anything to make use of this fucking thing. And so I just left it. And I don't even know how much they use it themselves, honestly. Matt might be using it, but who knows. But yeah, it doesn't to make great knives, you don't need a lot tooling-wise. I'm right there with you, Craig, with the heat treat kiln, a grinder, and what was the last time? Oh, the drill press. Those can take you really fucking long way.
Yeah. I don't know if it's because I've stepped away from social media, but a few years back, I was just seeing everybody getting into sort of CNC stuff, you know, and it just seemed like everybody was buying the little, what they called? Not drill press. Like a drill press, you know.
The mill.
Mills, yeah, yeah, like CNC mills and that kind of thing. But I don't know whether because I've stepped away from social media, so I don't get to see now what people are doing so much. But that just seemed to be like very quickly came on. It was like everybody really wanted that kind of thing.
Sure.
But what do you think, Jeff? Sort of big stuff. Maybe regrets you've made in the past.
I'm gonna veer off into something that annoys me, which is I feel as though
traffic, fucking traffic.
That's my fucking bit.
No, it's not really annoying me, but the fact is like I feel as though I think it's a great question, but I feel as though there's a lot of people who just like what you said, Craig, where people say if I only had that tool, I could do this. You know, you hear that when people are, you know, I when I was talking to Honor Kaglar of Dies in Every Film, he says that people will write in on his page when he writes as a video, they'll say, if I had all those tools, I could do all that too. I feel as though I see so many people with eyes bigger than their stomachs. And a lot of it is they prioritize tools over education or tools over their own experience.
Sure.
And it's like, you could get all this shit, you could buy all this stuff. And obviously if you get a good deal, you get guys like, you know, Chris Zeppieri, who understands tools and knows that it can be an investment and stuff like that. I feel as though I would say I saw so many people buy presses who can't forge a fucking thing. And God bless you. If that's what you want to do, if you want to forge and you want to make billets of Damascus, God bless you. I would highly suggest that a lot of people, instead of buying tools, they invest in their education. Because it's like, just because you have this thing doesn't mean you know how to do it right and or do it at all. Or understand the ins and outs of all these giant tools that you make. And, I mean, that's my own opinion. I really go away from buying tools. I have a small tire hammer that I have work on. I actually use it this week, and it's like I fucking hate it. If I could just launch it into space, I would. And just I make it work. I'm glad. I made the right decision when I got it. I made the right decision, and I use it, and I'm able to repair it because it's a steel tire hammer. I can make repairs myself. But like, I feel as though people are cart before the horse, and they learn, they think to themselves, oh, I need this press or I need this power hammer. And it's like, they just fucking make wizard sticks or whatever, you know, those guys, while everyone making them fucking wizard sticks. Bullshit. Oh, dude, this is this whole thing. It's just like all these guys who talk about all their prototypes they're making, and they're just like, they're fooling around, and they're just take a class. Don't buy shit. Take a class.
Some people see, and I probably count myself in this, as a bit of a hobby, like new stuff. And I think like getting new equipment is an opportunity to learn new stuff. And that, for me, that I'm very guilty of that, you know, which is how I can convince myself that I need new stuff. Not everybody's the same. But for me, I do see that as a way of, oh, I can learn more. Which is a distraction from the core of what you're trying to do. I get that. But there is a plus to new stuff and having to master new stuff. I mean, you just said, you know, he gets messages like, if I had all that, I could do that. But it's like, well, no, you couldn't. Right. You need to learn how to use this stuff, which is a skill in itself. I'm always buying. I bought two new guitars this week, so I don't need them.
Well,
but it's that thing, you know, it's just,
In that same vein, I got caught up with all my blacksmithing friends. If you see a good deal on an anvil, you get it. I have too many anvils, and I have four or five. I don't even know. And it's like I thought, oh, this is a good investment, or I can use it. And when I'm forging, I'll have one over by the power hammer. So if I'm doing something, I can run over there. I got one behind me. I got one loud one
for the coffee. One for the
yeah, I got four or five of them, and I'm just like, I got to the point where I was just like, I'm not using all of these goddamn things. And they're convenient, but it's just like I felt as though I was getting them because, A, it was a really good deal and you just couldn't, you know, oh, $400, this is really worth more than that. And you're passing it up. It's a huge mistake. I've now been like, no more. I don't want any more. Obviously, you know, I'll go see.
The deal comes along.
Oh, God. It's like a fucking, it's madness because all of a sudden something will come along and maybe I'll go see Cliff and John and they have this amazing Swedish anvil that I'm just like, God, if that ever came close to me, I understand it's a fever, but I don't want to want it. You know, like I'm going out of my way unless it's like you're giving it away. My last anvil, I mugged this person for this fucking anvil. The last anvil I got, this woman was just like, oh, I have this thing in my house and I was wondering maybe you could use it. Turns out to be an anvil made by a famous puppeteer. And I gave her like $100 for it. And I was just like, I felt terrible for 5 minutes. And then I was like, I mugged this woman. I'm like, but that's it. I mean, $100. That's it. What? Yeah.
Famous puppeteer. Yeah, like Keith Harrison Orville.
No. There was a famous.
You mean like United Jim Henson?
No, it wasn't Jim Henson. I would have said Jim Henson. There was a famous puppet and a woman. Her name was Sherry Lewis. Sherry Lewis is a comedian, and she had this sock puppet named Lamb Chop. You look it up, it's Lamb Chop. Well, the person who made Lamb Chop had like an art studio. And in that art studio, there's an anvil. So this Peter Wright I have, I call Lamb Chop because it's like it was the woman who made Lamb Chop. So
nice story. That nice.
Yeah, I mugged that. I mugged the owner. I mugged him. I mean, to the point where I had to talk to Andrew Alexander from Blacksmith Tools, and I said, "Did I do something?" And I told him the whole story on Full Blast. I said, "Did I do anything wrong?" And he goes, "No, you didn't. You gave him an offer, and you got the deal." no, you didn't mug him. I'm like, yeah, you're from Texas. I mugged him. I'm from New York. My shit is fuck. I mugged this motherfucker. I mugged him.
Different sensibilities.
Totally different sensibilities.
That's so funny.
Mugged him.
Brilliant.
Mugged him for lamb chop. There you go. There's your okay. quote. Mugged him okay. for lamb chop.
So where were we? Stuff we're seeing people well, buying what, big tools.
What have you bought? Craig, what have you bought that you're just like you wish you hadn't bought?
Right. Let me open my little blind here, right? Like, just look out and see what I've got
here. I thought you had like 10 lasers.
I've got two lasers. I've got three CNC. what are they? What's that word? I can't remember today.
Router?
Right, router things, yeah.
Mill. That's how tool rich you are. What are they called again? That thing
exactly,
that spins?
Exactly. I've got two hardness testers.
Oh, Jesus.
And a bunch of anvils and like never been used, you know? It's, yeah.
Are you doing simultaneous hardness tests?
Yeah, what do you do with two? Two and two at the same time?
But the thing is, right, it's mad. So I was trying to get hold.
I remember this. Go ahead.
I was trying to get hold of, you know, you can get the little chips so you can make sure that everything is calibrated correctly. So you get the chips and you measure that and then you can adjust to that. And the chips are about like 150 euros. And somebody had a hardness tester for 200 euros. And I was like, well, I might as well just buy another hardness tester. Not thinking, they could both be calibrated badly, but, but I can take an average of the two.
That's what Chris Zeppieri is the worst. I mean, it's like... Yeah. He has packed so many tools into that shop of his. It's amazing. But he can't, if he sees a deal, he'll send me messages. Oh, look at this great deal. And it's like $10,000. I'm like, what the fuck? What do I need this machine for $10,000?
Brilliant. GAS, they call it, gear acquisition syndrome.
Oh.
It's a hobby in itself.
Oh.
Yeah.
So you walk around saying you have GAS.
I have gas, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, who's taking the next?
Next one's from Ball Blades. Speaking of hardness testers. Quick question for
too many jokes.
Quick question for the show. How far into the folder game can I get with a 2x72 and a disc grinder without dropping big bucks on a mill? Would I be limited to friction folders? Thanks so much for the show. I've learned so much. You guys rock. Craig, literally. So, folders.
Folders. Mareko, have you ever made any folders? I don't think I've seen you.
I have not, but I have interest in making them. I'm not going to become a folder maker, but I have just kind of, I guess, my own experiential curiosity. I'm curious about making one. I think you can actually get pretty far. There is Bruce Bingenheimer isn't a maker anymore, or he passed away several years ago, which is why he's not making. And
it'll do it.
Yeah, that's it.
That'll do it.
That's it. Question answered.
And so, but he had this great tutorial thread on what the fuck was it called? Blade Forums. It was a whip project on making a, like whatever the Craig, fuck, I can't think of words now too, but the flipper style folding knife, and he's just using conventional tools. He's not using a mill. He's using a drill press. He's using a grinder, all that kind of shit, and or surface grinder. I think he's keeping things pretty simple, and it's a great knife. I used to actually own one of his knives, And so, yeah, it's pretty impressive to see what you can do without kind of super fancy tools. And if you can get your materials, we don't always have to buy just like kind of raw bar stock that we would typically stock remove or forge blades from. You can get precision ground material and then go from there and make your folder. Yeah. That way the material is... precision ground to the dimensions that you need for the different aspects of the folding knife.
I made a slip joint folder once, and I hated every second of it.
Sweet.
I hated it. I didn't have any precision. I just had a grinder. All I had is a grinder, a drill press. I hated every second of it. But I fumbled my way through it. I didn't take any class. I got a book on slip joint folders, and I just basically... did what the book said, and it turned out great. I mean, it's for the first folding knife I ever made, it's not bad. I don't like it. I hated every second of it, but I didn't, to the point where I've never made another one again. But at the same time, it worked. Now, what I would suggest is, once again, is I would highly suggest checking out the New England School of Metalwork, because they have some of the best folding knife people on the planet teaching classes there. And it's people cough up the real good stuff. And if you take a class, you'll start to see what you can and can't do. And you won't be in a position of having to say, well, do I need this piece of equipment? You'll use the equipment they have, and you say, I don't have this, but I do have this. And maybe you'll be able to kind of like step yourself up. But it's crazy, because once you take these classes, you're not fumbling through the dark. Sometimes I feel like, and there's nothing wrong with it, I fumbled through the dark when I made my slip joint folder. I'm sure that if I had taken...
And when you made your daughter.
I know what you said. You son of a bitch, you fumbling through the dark. I got it. I'm loud and clear, my guy. Loud and clear. So, I mean, they got nothing more to say. You fucking got me. Torpedoed me. You sunk my battleship. Jesus Christ. That's it. I got nothing to say. Take a class.
I've made friction folders, but basically using flat stock and any sort of flattening that I needed to do. I just used one of the surface grinders, the attachments that Broadbeck make, mm-hmm. On a grinder. You know, not as precise as, you know, some CNC mill or anything like that, but it completely does the job. And for friction folders, it's more than good enough. It's a completely different game to a handled knife, particularly culinary knives, that kind of thing. There's some great people out there making great stuff. So, yeah, go take a look at other people's stuff, really, and see where you can sort of manage to sort of get from what they're doing, I suppose. But friction folders, not too bad, but anything else, you can start needing some sort of specialist stuff, I would have thought.
And I hated making that slip joint folder so much that when I designed my friction folders, and now I teach the class at the Center for Metal Arts twice a year, I had such a terrible time that I said, how can I make a knife that I have not a terrible time? And the friction folder class is so much fun because there's no precision milling, there's no calipers. It's like three quarters of all forging, and then there's like 25% of hand filing and then fitting. But it was like a complete answer to how much I hated making that slip joint folder. Mm-hmm.
Cool. Okay. Well, I just mentioned Broadbeck and one of the attachments that they have. Mareko, tell me all about your Broadbeck.
I use it all the time, especially in my blade grinding and handle sculpting, especially with the deep throat on the Mareko Platin. Boy, it makes a huge difference.
You listening, ball knives?
Yeah. But yeah, they've designed this grinder to be a multi-tool of sorts, almost like a I can't even think of the fucking knife.
We can't speak today. I don't know what's going on.
I'm sick. I don't know what your fucking problem is. No. But yeah, Broadbeck, the guys are great. They make a great machine. And if you go to broadbeckironworks.com, you can get your surface grinding attachment or whatever kind of different attachment you need from them. Get a whole package set up. Make sure you put Knife Talk 10 in at checkout to save yourself 10%. Again, these are great guys. They're a big part of our community. They've done a lot to support makers and this show. So go ahead and show some love back to them and get a hold of whatever you need from them in regards to grinders and attachments. BroadbeckIronWorks.com.
And power hammers.
The power hammer. I keep forgetting about the power hammers.
Sewing machines.
I've used the fucking power hammer and sewing machines and all this stuff. So just go check them out, BroadbeckIronWorks.com. And when you are at checkout, make sure you use Knife Talk 10 to save yourself 10%.
Cool. Jeff, do you want to do Shane Hicks?
Oh, we have that, and we have pranks, too, and we have listener feedback. Okay, Shane Hicks. Okay, Shane Hicks says, sup, nerds. That's some way to start it, a conversation.
I know,
there,
especially
Shane.
Such a fucking long question. We should just skip this question, actually.
Is that what you do? Is that what we do with the Magna Carta?
Yeah. Sorry. Bye.
All right. I'll whip through it, Shane. But you heard what the man said, Shane. You know, you gave us the Magna Carta. You get your balls.
Yeah, I have ADHD. I don't even have enough attention span to read this whole fucking thing.
I'll read it. Relax. Okay, just sit back and relax. Been listening on and off for a while. Not down on and off. That's another slight. I mean, on and off. What the fuck, Shane? On and off.
Not a gold star listener.
Gosh. No. And now I'm. He's been listening off and on for a while. Now I'm looking for some advice. This is a hilarious way to start a conversation.
Strong start.
What's up, nerds? I kind of listen, but now I need your help. What the fuck, Shane? Fucking God. I'm ready to quit my job.
Oh, geez.
another one. I'm going to do one. This. Let's do this. Ding, so I'm ding, ready to quit ding. My job and start making.
Another one.
So I'm ready to quit my job and start making full-time knives, leather good, and other crap related to self-defense, etc. It won't be a little while because I want to save up for a buffer in case sales don't go well at first as I prep for what that knife-making equipment do you think is essential for someone starting out? I have blanks and water jet cut. I have blanks and scales, water jet cut. I farm out the heat treatment now, and everything else is done in the house. I already have a 2x72, a couple attachments for it, bandsaw, vacuum chamber, and other items miscellaneous that could get me by. Also, my next purchase will be an even heat. I farm out my heat treatment, but I realized it would pay for itself in 3 months. At the rate I need to sell knives. So it makes sense to dive in and gain some extra control over heat treatment despite the learning curve. All right, guy wants to quit his job. He wants to make knives full blast. He's got a 2x72, some attachments. He gets the heat treating done out. He gets the water jet cutting out. What else does he need?
Yeah, well, we mentioned the big three, you know, a grinder, a drill press, and a heat treating oven. I mean, he's working to see if get a buffer out there. I mean, start making whilst you're working and you have that safety net. Start making in your spare time and seeing if you're selling. If you're selling and you can't keep up with the demand, then maybe that it's time to have that sort of conversation, or maybe think, you know, could I maybe take some time off my job and do this a bit more before, you know, completely quitting.
Yeah.
We've had so many listeners who
don't jump ship too early.
Yeah, who have done that.
They blame us.
I always feel. Yeah, they blame us, and I always feel a bit guilty, to be honest with you. So I think make sure you're going to have everything covered. Make sure your sales are there, and when it becomes a problem that you can't fulfill these sales, then it's time to write. I need to put more time into this, and then you can think of not necessarily quitting your job, but finding other ways of putting time into it before you get to that. But yeah, as we mentioned, with those three tools, you can go a long way. And it looks as if you're going to be some sort of generalist there, because you're talking about leather goods and self-defense goods and lots of stuff. So yeah, I think if you're just starting out, focus on, you know, sort of laser focus down to something really, because if you're just doing a bunch of stuff, it's going to be hard to reach an audience. But you know, I'm assuming you know this. You've done your research and you're ready to go. So, if you're talking about what you need, I think those three big tools will serve you a long way. You mentioned your even heat learning curve. There's not really a learning curve. They're super super easy. You'll spend a day, half a day maybe. You know, finding, you know, your recipes and programming them in, and once they're in, they're saved and you're ready to go. There's not much of a learning curve there, so don't be too worried about that.
Yeah. Yeah, the way, I don't know, at least the way I'm interpreting this is like he's ready to fucking quit his job and go full time in knives, but maybe not necessarily have kind of the safety net there or the security of demand as a maker. And honestly, even if you do have the security of demand, that demand fluctuates. And the first fucking year, at least, if not the first couple or few years, are kind of tough. And so I would kind of go back to what I was kind of half joking about, jumping ship too early, is, you know, really like dedicate, like Craig was saying, in your off time, making and building your brand and awareness and selling work and seeing how that demand goes for at least, I would say, at least 6 months, if not a full year. If you can have the patience to do it for a year, that'll, one, prove to yourself probably that you have the dedication to go full-time and do this as a full-time business as yourself on your own. But it's going to kind of take that time to build up and develop kind of that, again, that brand awareness, that reputation, that demand for your work, at least a year, if not longer, honestly. And if it's not showing, like coming through, like the last thing you want to do is jump ship, meaning leaving your full-time job too early and then fucking come crawling back and be like, ah, fucked up, guys. I need my job back. Just don't burn any bridges saying, what's up, nerds? I only like working here every once in a while.
Wow. Yeah, good one. Good one. Callback.
Slightly off topic, but we get a lot of these questions, you know, when should I jump ship? You know, it's my hobby at the moment, and I love doing it, and I'd love for this to be my main work. I saw a little, like an Instagram reel this week, and it was a pottery teacher, and she works in a school. And she said she hates it when she sees her students starting to sell their work. Even like young kids, you know, they'll, you know, a couple of dollars, whatever, they try and sell what they've got. She said, because that takes the onus off making what you want to make, to all of a sudden then you're making what other people want to make. Mm-hmm. And that's a very sort of different story. She said, you know, you see so many people lose the enjoyment in their hobby because it becomes with the stresses of this is now my work.
Right.
So don't take that too lightly either. You know, it's a huge mindset shift as well. You know, a hobby becoming your work is a big, big difference.
No disrespect to that pottery teacher, but she seems like a pain in the ass too. I mean, it's like,
no, I completely see her point. I completely see it.
You see her point, but it's just like, you know, they, you know, all of a sudden, I know that feeling of like, guy learns how to do something and all of a sudden I'm going right into business. And it's just like, hold your horses, homeboy. Yeah. But at the same time, it's just like, the pottery teacher, she got to chill out too, you know? It's like, who do you fall? What do you care?
She does seem like she's micromanaging a bit.
Yeah, it's just like, let these people decide what they want to do with their lives. I wish I had more. I wish I had what I knew now when I knew when I first started. Because now I really see Fader Knives as two divisions. There's the manufacturing and then there's the sales. So like I have to constantly go in between the manufacturing end and the sales end. I got to, you know, I'm in the shop every day, but I'm on phone calls and I'm emailing and I'm talking to a PR company and I'm talking to the people we're doing their website with. And I'm talking with. So if I were to suggest something to this guy, and the smart thing is with Shane, he's already figured out the heat treatment. He already figured out the water jet cutting. That's hard too, how to make those decisions because he's obviously has to buy in a degree of bulk.
Right.
He can't, you know, to do the heat treating. I know it's not, you know, he's figured out ways in which to make his job easier. If I were, I would be focusing on, and basically what, you know, Marekka was saying about, you know, brand awareness. How do you get brand awareness? You can pay for it. So I would be putting more money and investing more into the advertisement of what I'm doing than to do it on my own with Instagram or using social media. I would probably be paying for more brand awareness, and that's how you get eyeballs on what you're doing. Because for me right now, it's constantly this juggling between the sales side and then the manufacturing side. And that to me is the most important. And I think that it would be really great to just say, ah, I need to get another tool. Well, we could have a barrel full of knives. If they're not selling, then, you know, what the fuck?
Yeah.
You know, you got to focus on the sales as opposed to the focusing on the production.
Sure. I'm just rereading through his question to kind of try to do a better job. To answer this question, especially about what kind of buffer to like build up in case sales don't go well at first. I think in general, like most people should aim to have at least 3 to 6 months worth of their recurring living expenses saved up. Now, very few people have that, but the ideal should be, I think it's at least 3 months. If not 6 months of their recurring. And, you know, that's a lot of money. Unless you can get that saved, if you can get that saved up, whatever it is, you know, $3,000, $7,000, $10,000, whatever it costs you to live, figure that out. multiply by 3 to 6, and then get that saved. And then maybe at that point, you know, whatever, 6 months or a year later, you're in the position to start transitioning over to that, doing knife making full time.
And you could probably do better business then as well, because you're not having to take risky or shitty orders.
Sure.
Just because you've got to. You know, you can make better business decisions when you're not up against the wall.
Yeah, when you're not desperate.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But the other thing is like, throughout the year, every year is different in terms of what's good and what's bad. Like, there are, you know, the pandemic for a lot of knife makers was really...
You're going to say Peloton again. Then.
Well, I was going to bring it up.
I think it's been 2 hours.
I was going to bring it up.
You ride Peloton, Jeff? I didn't know you were into Peloton.
You know how I know you guys don't know about a Peloton? Because the two of you, you barely walk down the street. You guys don't do any exercise, either one of you. So just, I didn't start this, okay?
I didn't start this.
But what I'm saying is during the pandemic, knife makers made a lot of money. A lot of knife makers did really well because people, like, they were buying from home and you could put it in the mail. And companies mistook how good the numbers they were doing in sales during the pandemic, and they thought that was the baseline of how your business should do. Well, for a lot of people, it didn't happen. I mean, Peloton's a perfect example. Everyone bought a Peloton, no one going to the gym, and then after the pandemic, it was completely overpriced. Same thing with a lot of knife makers. I saw knife makers, they thought that because of the pandemic, it's going to be like this all the time, and it's been a disaster for a lot of people afterwards. So you just have to kind of be very aware of seeing, you know, how business is over time. It's not predictable, I don't think.
Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah. We kind of are in at least in the knife industry in the wake of a bubble bursting almost in a way.
Oh yeah, it's, you know what? Because the three of us talked about culinary knives too much. We should have told these motherfuckers to start making culinary knives.
Folding knives.
Yeah, folding, we should have done like, we should have done karambit.
And be like, fuck this.
Yeah, karambit talk. This is all karambits. Yeah. Karambits, karambits, whatever it is, that's all we talk about. We don't know anything about culinary knives. We got these sons of bitches to cut their guards off, and now all of a sudden they think that they're, you know, culinary knife guys.
I blame Bob Kramer.
I blame us. Oh. I don't blame us more than Bob Kramer. Bob Kramer did his thing. He didn't tell anybody to do it. Why do we get so many people saying, how do you make serrations? It's because they're fucking trying to figure it out.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, Shane, well, listen, one thing you will need to do is look after those pennies. And if you head over to TexasFarrowSupply.com, we can get you 10% off everything they stock. And they also include Indasa Rhino Wet in that as well. So if you're not using Rhino Wet for your hand sanding, I mean, you know, it's basic 101. You should be using Indasa Rhino Wet. So head on over to TexasFarrowSupply.com, fill up your cart. They've got everything you could possibly need as a knife maker, farrier, bladesmith, whatever you are. They've got it all. And if you use Knife Talk at Knife Talk or Knife Talk 10, I always forget, at checkout, you'll get 10% off your entire order.
You drinking that bubbly water again, Jeff?
Knife Talk 10. Knife
Talk 10.
Why, yes, I am.
There we go.
What is it today? LaCroix? Bublé?
No, what do you think I'm...
You just make
Bublé. Instead of fizzy water, called Bublé.
Bublé?
Must be some local brand that we have here. It's a
Mickey
Kroger
Bubbles.
Bublé? Fucking Bublé. I don't drink no Bublé. Some cheap ass Polar. Some bullshit.
Polar. Oh boy. No Talking Rain.
No, I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay.
Bublé.
You don't know about Talking Rain?
I just don't know about what I don't know about, and I'm right. Proud of it.
There you go.
All right, so here's what we got. We got listener pranks. More listener pranks. We have Life Talk feedback, and we have more questions. So whatever you guys want to do, we also have.
Let's do a couple of each. Hammer through them.
So a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about pranks. I don't know how it got in, but our listeners decided to send in. We got a lot of pranks sent in. So this one comes from Hubris Workshop. Hubris Workshop. I don't know if you were serious about wanting prank stories, but I have one. A few of my buddies and I did some work overseas as contractors. There was an over-the-counter pharmacy at the Dubai airport where you could buy what was essentially counterfeit Chinese prescription drugs, specifically knockoff Chinese Viagra. Very potent stuff. At my bachelor party was midday. We're just riding bicycles around Boise, Idaho, very low-key. When I was in the bathroom, my buddy slipped a few crushed up contraband little blue pills into my beer. Spare most of the details, but I was very confused why all of a sudden I was bricked up like a prepubescent teen midday on a bicycle. Riding from bar to bar with a group of dudes. Ayo, if that's too much for the show, no worries.
I hope he wasn't liquored up as well.
I don't think I've ever heard someone being bricked up. I think that might be one of the best expressions for getting a hard on. I'm bricked up like a prepubescent teen.
Bricked up.
Oh, in cycling shorts. Can you imagine?
Dude, I cannot.
He's probably just wearing sweatpants.
I can't think of anything worse than having a fucking just running around with a big old boner all the time. Forget it. All right.
Maybe his buddy was trying to send him a message.
Break him up. Get him bricked up. Steve Ellis says, this was a good prank. Years ago, someone brought a pair of dick nose glasses to the office. I think we know where all these are going. No women listen to this podcast, ladies and germs. It's bricked up people, and he got slipping Viagra's and dick nose glasses.
Sorry, Joyce.
She ain't listening. Apparently, or maybe she is. We were always pranking each other. I bought a pair of dick nose glasses to the office. We were always pranking each other, and it was apparently one of the supervisors' turn. Because several of us decided it would be funny to wire the glasses to the grill guard of his pickup truck. We were working in an oil field, so we'd drive to a lot of different locations and then take these trucks home. He drove around with those glasses on his grill for 3 days before someone told him they were on there. He immediately ran out of the office, ripped them off, and threw the glasses on the roof of the office building. It was hilarious. Love the pod. Have a great day.
Nice. That's
funny. Do you guys have any pranks that you remember?
I never came up with any.
No, I can never remember things. I shut them out.
You guys got something. This one is from another from Shane Hicks. Here's a prank. I was a CB, basically. That's the Corps of Engineers for the Navy, and back in 2013 in Afghanistan, we were building a new building for some guys to stay in, a secured area so they wouldn't get anyway, one of the guys found a fake Halloween thumb in one of the vehicles, super realistic, and it had the fingerprint and bones sticking out and everything. Well, he decides to play a prank on a job supervisor and cuts a piece of plywood, lays the thumb down beside it, and sprinkled a bunch of hot sauce everywhere. He then started the saw as the supervisor was walking by and yelled out in pain and ran around. The supervisor saw the thumb and immediately grabbed the med kit and tossed it to him and hooked it to the nearest building with a phone that was 300. I don't know what that means. He was halfway there before he was stopped and confused and thought it was hilarious.
Thank
you for your service.
That actually brings up two stories. My sister had a really amazing sculpture shop in her house. And she had a beautiful shop, just a great sculpture shop. And she played a trick on me and my wife. My wife's a nurse practitioner, so she had a fake finger. And she screamed, like, real fucking scream. Like, she screamed. Hillary ran downstairs, and my sister was holding this stupid thumb and then smiling. My wife was so fucking mad. She was going to, we're like, we're leaving. I can't, I work all week. I'm a stressful job, and your dumbass sister's playing this joke. It was like, she was really pissed off. And because, you know, doctors and nurses and nurse practitioners who deal with this shit, when they're done for the day, they don't want kind of like, you know, high adrenaline shit happening, to the point where I was teaching at the Center for Mental Arts recently, and a guy was hand sanding one of the knives, and he slipped and he cut himself, and he was all keyed up and very, you know, whatever, adrenaline kicked through. He started to say, "I think I'm going to faint." We sat him down, and he was just really nervous and stuff like that. Well, one of the other classmates who was taking the class was an ER trauma surgeon. He's there all the time. When he and I were talking, he was very, very like low key. And I could tell that he just wanted nothing to do with it. So he really was just like, I'm here to relax. I'm not here to fucking do any kind of this stuff. So the guy's sitting there, we're kind of giving him water, or we're putting his feet up, or taking care of him. And I walk over to the doctor. I said, "Don't worry. I know you're on. I know you don't want any of this." And he goes, "Yeah, I really don't want any of this. So he'll be fine." But it was hilarious because there's like these doctors and stuff like that. They want none of this bullshit.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. We got more, or we can go to listener feedback or go back to questions, whatever you want.
Let's do some feedback. But first of all, I want to tell everybody about Dharmasteel. We've been working them for years now because they make the best stainless Damascus that's out there. It's the same every time. It's just really reliable. If you go on their website, you'll see the patterns that they do. As I say, it's repeatable really, really well what they do. So you know what you're getting each time. Easy to work with, far easier than you'd imagine it would be. Great guides on their website as well. But go and have a look at Dharmasteel AB on Instagram. See the kind of stuff people are making with Dharmasteel. Then head on over to dharmasteel.se, which is their website. You see the beautiful patterns that they have. And if you make an order and use Knife Talk as a promo code, you'll get 10% off that order too. So head on over to dharmasteel.se.
Okay. I was going to say something else, but never mind. listener feedback. I was going to forget it. Listener feedback. This is your opportunity to interact with the show. If you hear something that we're talking about or hear a question or something like that, you can go to Knife Talk Podcast on Instagram, or you can send us your listener feedback. The first one comes from Dharmasteel, believe it or not. Dharmasteel, yeah. Last week we were talking about the fact that people want Craig at Blade Show.
Oh, yeah.
People want Craig at Blade Show.
Only if he brings the guitar. No, I'm just joking.
Oh, Jesus, no.
Can you imagine? That'd be just like that bar that you got sent
exactly
to.
Exactly. It should be a dead bar. Yeah.
Oh, God. Unbelievable. Dharmasteel says, tell Craig you guys can do a live show in our booth if he ever wants to make the journey.
Ooh.
Plus all the bubbly water he can hold down.
Buble.
All the buble. Yeah, lots of people want Craig out there, but, you know. You gotta
feeling the pressure. Well, it's been a few.
They're not really like showing you the money. I think that's really what it comes down to. It's like, you know, I think that, you know, you gotta pry his ass, and how you pry his ass.
It's to be honest, it's not money as such. I mean, what's amazingly, just last week, two people offered to pay my flights and stuff to go to Blade Show or Make a Camp and these things. And it's just a lot of time out for me. You know, I've got a young family here, and I've got enough stuff going on. That, you know, do I want, as I said last week, don't want to be spending this time with kilted bearded.
You don't want to get bricked.
Maybe not. You got to see it at least once.
You don't want to get bricked up in the woods with a bunch of fucking knife makers.
Yeah, you know, I really do appreciate everybody, you know, offering and, but yeah, maybe we'll just have to come
to you sometime.
Yes. Yeah, that's easier. Jesus, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Next one comes from Corey Phillips. Here's a bit of feedback for the custom measurement knife question that Paul Jansen submitted. I think a couple weeks ago, Paul had said that a guy wanted him to make a knife. He thought that the proportions were weird, but if the guy if the guy likes it, I don't think it was 2 weeks ago. If the guy maybe it was last week. So a guy wants him to make a knife, and he thinks that the proportions are fucking weird.
Okay.
And then he doesn't really want to make it. He kind of doesn't want to make it, but the guy is dangled in front of him saying, if I like it, I'll commission you to do 9 of them. So it was basically a question of what should he do? Who is the horse?
That was me. I hate people doing that.
Why?
If I like it, then I might buy 9. He can get fucked.
Bricked up.
Yeah.
Exactly. You get bricked up, bitch. All right.
No, just like, I don't know. It's a weird thing that people do, I think, to crash.
You're right. Well, but I mean, you know, these guys, they think, I originally assumed that the guy was going to try to resell them. It wasn't for like, you know, a groom's gift or something like that. Yeah, some people talk like that. You know, some people are like, well, you know, if they go over well, maybe we'll, you know, whatever.
Yeah, I think it's a way of asking for a discount as well, really.
Oh, my God.
You're never
going to
buy another
knife.
Yeah.
You know? You're
just can like, I get the knife
I'll tell
one
you
free?
I'll buy one. If it's good, I'll buy 10. So, you know, do me a deal. And it's like, oh, come on, please.
What do you remember what the dimensions were?
No, didn't give dimensions.
Oh,
why?
All right.
Why?
I was just curious.
Well, I think that it was more about, like, it just looked...
I see.
it was all the proportions of everything were weird.
I guess, yeah.
It wasn't like it wasn't anything other than it just looked, he just looked at it, he's like, I don't want to do this.
Yeah.
A little bit of feedback for Paul Jansen. For something non-standard, I think it would be a good idea for the customer to pay for and approve a stencil or a mock-up of the knife with the dimensions that they provide. That way you know you're serious and you're not wasting your time going back and forth. Maybe use something like a knife print or cut out a mild steel profile. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think that's a great idea, and that's what I'd always do anyway. I think that's ideal. And then you've got an opportunity to sort of educate them in a way and say, well, you know, if this was longer or if this was shorter, that was that. It would be you know, you've got something to explain rather than just this arbitrary figure in the air, which they can't really sort of picture anyway.
Yeah, I've had people email saying they wanted a 13-inch long knife. I'm like, what the fuck? And every time I'm like, oh, yeah, they're including the length of the handle. They don't understand that.
Yeah.
We're talking about a certain length knife. It's only the blade.
Right.
And then you have to go through the back and forth correspondence to kind of clarify that. And then, but yeah, maybe it was one of those situations, but sometimes it's not.
There's a lot of
weird shit.
People do weird shit. I got a guy who's going to come by and he's like, I this all could be done with an email, but he's like, you don't understand. I only use forged carbon steel knives. And then he says other things that you're just like, this guy's just saying buzzwords. He doesn't know what he's talking about. And you hear that stuff all the time. And it's just like, you feel as though it, no matter what you say, no, you don't understand. I only use 15-inch chef knives. And I only use, they have to be hand-forged. And I need them to be, I only use drop-forged knives. They'll say things and they'll think, oh, he really knows what he's talking about. People don't know. People just say what they want.
Right.
Yeah. That's annoying. And it's like, it could, you know, the guy was like, I just need to know what it feels like in my hand because I know that full tang knives are always more well balanced than hidden tang. Like, what are you talking about? Stop telling me these bullshit things. Yeah. I hate that shit. But you know what? You know what? Sometimes if the money's right, you know, like, you know, get Craig bricked up in the woods. I mean, if the money's right, don't worry about it. This next one comes from JVB Knives, our boy Jocko. He says, hey, KTP, I have a new bit idea. Crazy comments. Send in a screenshot of weird, dumb, idiotic, or stupid comments on a knife post and have a laugh at the commentator's expense. Now, we can play this because Jocko has sent me exhibit of what he's talking about.
Exhibit A, my lord.
Yeah, exhibit A. So let me just get to it. I got to get to it. So what he did was he sent a screenshot of, he made a video on a knife, and it was a full build video on YouTube, and it was called Making the Independence Bowie Knife. And some fucking guy wrote, rat tails suck. And when will you all you kids realize it? You know, it's just like, yeah, it's just like people just write things. Now, here's a good one. So he provided a screenshot of, I guess a lot of people post on Instagram or Facebook, and then you'll just get these people to write something. And this one dude, he posted a, a knife, and then this guy, Cameron, wrote, yeah, no, I don't like it. It's pretty, but pretty tools are for pansies. and then Jocko wrote back, that's okay, man. You don't need to like it. He's being, Jocko's being pretty cool about it. So Cameron goes back. He goes, ugh, okay, this tool is dangerous too. The handle will break. How important is that? And then Jocko goes back, and all of a sudden Jocko's getting bricked up, and he goes, because you know nothing about what you're talking about. Well, you might as well have, the real fire in the fireplace. Yeah. So Cameron goes back. This is like chef's kiss answer, right? I've got 5 certifications and 15 years of direct experience. I don't know who you are, but I'm willing to bet my experience counts for more than yours. And then
certifications in what?
Assholitude. I don't know. Who knows?
Swimming.
Who knows? And then the next thing he writes, he adds on. He goes, it needs a pin. And Chaco writes, what are you talking about? It has a pin. So if you want to send in your fucking weird customer, weird, crazy comments, give it a screenshot and we'll read it off.
Oh, yeah. My God.
Yeah. Do you ever get crazy comments, Mareko?
For sure. I can't think of any off the top of the head, but I'm
surprised.
This bit reminds me of, who is it? Jimmy Fallon does this thing where he has celebrities read tweets about themselves. And it's usually extremely disparaging.
Well, they're
pretty fucking funny.
The crazy part is obviously Jocko's not looking for this type of smoke. Versus my friend Chris Powell of Full Steam Designs. That's his whole game. Because he makes money on engagement, and then it churns into, he squeezes every nickel. So he'll do videos specifically for people to say, I'm a professional contractor and you don't know what you're doing. And then he'll just write underneath, what do you mean? And it's like he'll write the smallest.
Cast a line out there.
The smallest words, the smallest group of sentences, not even a sentence. He'll write just enough to get them to fucking keep going. And it's like he's just consistently just trying to get people to interact. And it's like you don't know what you're doing. I've been a contractor for 25 years. And if you wanted to know I'd throw you off the. And he's like, I don't know what you're talking about. Or you don't know. Or he'll write something like, you don't know what you're talking about. And it's just like this perpetual of just this mania that I don't want anything to do with.
Yeah.
Craig, you ever get any weird comments?
I don't, but occasionally I will get into the comments. I try not to, but occasionally I like getting into a bit of a war at times.
Really?
Because I find it very funny just to wind people up, and I do. Oh. And I know I shouldn't, but at times you just think these people are just fucking idiots. You know, you try to correct them and they come back with something and then you're just like, oh, here we go.
See, Mareko, I know that you kind of go into it with people.
Oh, because I'll get into it with some people.
I know, but like I feel as though I can feel your rage in your simplest initial question. Like somebody will say something and sometimes some of it is kind of like maybe innocuous, and you'll write, what do you mean when you say that? And I know that when you write, what do you mean when you say that? It's just like fucking eyeballs of flames.
We can hear your voice.
Laser beams are already coming out. You've already broken your keyboard and you're just kind of pissed off. I can't fuck with that shit at all. I can't fuck with it at all. I cannot fuck with, it's such a giant, I love Jocko. Jocko is the man. Fucking awesome knife maker, by the way. I cannot have my energy diverted from the things that I need to get done. I can't. And the internet and social media, I've cut back so much. I don't do any doom scrolling. I spend so far less hours on because I'm so focused on this business. I cannot engage with these people. I had the chef I've been working with, and people write him crazy stuff and he doesn't fuck with them. He doesn't fuck with them, and he's smart not to fuck with them. No. So, I don't know. I can't do it.
I think I've done a pretty good job filtering those people out with my blocking game being so strong.
So you got them blocked up. You're bricked up with blocking.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, so. Your blocking game is legendary. People write into the podcast saying, please don't block me, or please don't let Mareko block me. We once had people beg us to unblock them. Yeah, your block game has got to be huge. I don't think I block that many people. I don't fuck with people. I don't fuck with them.
Sure.
I don't even write. You know what? The one thing, the simplest thing you can do to get people pissed off with, just write the letter K. Fucking write the letter K. The letter K. The letter is like the nuclear bomb of getting people pissed off. That is the simplest way to get people pissed off, right? That's K, so fucking K. Oh,
yeah. They've rolled up their sleeves. They're ready for this big fight. They're ready for it.
K, lowercase K. Alpha. Yeah, this is the way. And I gotta say one more thing. Craig got into it with one of our listeners.
Oh boy.
And then fucked with him. And then blocked him immediately. And then I think you reported him too. I think you just You slammed the door right in his face and got rid of him immediately. But you let him see that. You let him know what you had to feel. You let him know what you had to say, and then you fucked him off.
Then blocked them. Did I?
Yes. You're crazy.
Classic move. Classic move.
So send in your crazy comments. Screen cap your crazy comments, and we'll have a laugh about that. So whatever you guys want to do.
Jeff, what do you know about Maritime Knife Supply?
Oh, ain't no much better than that. I mean, Lawrence Lake is the man. And if you're in Canada or United States and you want to get some great knife making supplies, go to MaritimeKnifeSupply.com. And if you get a 10-pack of abrasive belts, you get 10% off. Fast shipping, great service. And if you're in Canada and you're looking for products that they have in the United States, and you're hoping to get, you know, send a message to Lawrence, he'll get you squared away. And my top tip, besides all between the Nordic Edge, he has got the Nordic Edge file guides that are awesome. The Razor Star, the Norton Razor Stars, get the 36 grit. I love those goddamn things, but don't get too many of them because then I won't have as many. So, MaritimeKnifeSupply.com.
There you go. Nice. Did you say we had feedback?
We're doing feedback. We have more feedback, it's up to you. Whatever you want to do. You want to fuck around or?
Let's do one or two more if you got any more.
Speedster Stove says, I have another segment idea besides crazy comments. Here's the segment idea. It's called Balls Up. Balls Up.
Okay.
Balls Up of the Week.
This is very ball heavy episode.
Yeah. Bricked up and balled up. This is fucking really bad. Really, really bad. Segment idea, Balls Up of the Week. Listeners send in their balls up, and the panel picks the best/worst one. Could be anything said, done in the workshop, mistakes, business errors. Cheers, dude.
What is balls up?
Okay, well, I've got a balls up here in the
balls
questions.
Balls up is in like you fucked up. Made a mistake.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've got one here from Jesse Lang in the question. Was it Jay Solange?
Yeah, you said
he wants
before,
to be. Yeah. He said this is dumb or really dumb. He said zoning out while hand sanding in the middle of the night, accidentally grabbing the wrong grit paper and finishing the back to 220, half adding the finished back to 800, and then etching.
That's bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's rough.
I was stressed out about something and I accidentally bumped my knuckles into a 60 grit, fresh 60 grit belt. I was really fucking, I got scared, but I was really pissed off.
Knuckles
about that.
Hurt as well. Yeah. But he's got a question regarding that actually. He says, if you realize you were an idiot and have scratches in your pattern after etching deep, do you have to bring the topography back to flat and redo the hand sand in an etch? Or is there some sort of trick you can do to cut corners? I usually don't cut corners, but I was on a deadline and tried and was tired enough to make bad decisions. So he's fucked up. Is there any way out of it rather than go back to restart at 220 and all the way back up again?
Yeah, I've definitely had to do that myself personally. I don't know if you guys have had that experience, but... Yeah, I have found errant coarse scratches in the blade, and I had to go back in and clean it up. Sometimes you can get in and scrub it out and not have to go all the way back to just fully grinding and reflattening and all that shit and rehand sanding the blade. But sometimes you do. It's just whatever it takes. I start as mild as possible to try to get back to etching the blade, but if I have to keep going deeper and deeper, then you just got to do it.
Yeah, I think the 220 to 800 isn't necessarily that time consuming. For me, it's the below 220 that I really spend a lot more time on, and then you can sort of quickly get through the grits. Then once you get going, so it's not the end of the world. You okay,
yeah,
Jeff?
I'm laughing. No, I'm laughing. I'm laughing because I looked at the show notes and you've already named the podcast Bricked Up. And it's just, so funny. Every so often.
We had a bounty of titles for last week.
Yeah.
So I actually put them in the description because there was so many.
Are you going to add Brick House as the music on the post?
Maybe.
There may be some new music out on Monday.
Let's talk about it.
Tomorrow. So, yeah, Friday, new single being released for Valentine's Day, which is very sickly sweet, I know. But yes, is that one I talked about months ago where I walk into the water for the video?
Oh, right. We've seen teasers for that.
It's a bit of a love song. But that, yeah, so that'll be out by the time this episode is out. So if you want to see me shrink my balls beyond belief by walking into cold, cold water in November, yeah, go on YouTube and look up the 355s, and there's a song called Always You, and there's a video which we've just shot for
it's the opposite of Bricked Up.
Completely, yeah.
Demolition.
Can you imagine if you're a rock star, they said to you, now, Craig, you got to take some Viagra before you jump in that water. You don't want to be all shriveled up. You got to be bricked up when you get in that water.
Whatever it takes. My God. And the video, it looks like a beautiful sunny day, but it was bloody freezing. Oh, yeah, it was November. And I'm fully clothed walking into this water. And it's just, oh, man. Oh,
you did it all in one take? Or?
No, multiple times, which is why I'm gutted. Right, my hair is really bad at the so it's like it's a bit of a time thing. So I'm on the beach, walking on the beach, and then I go in the water. But so we did that, and then we were like, okay, I've been in the water. He said, let's just do it one more time. And I was just like, well, you know, I'm wet through, so I had a change of clothes, which were the same clothes that I was wearing. So continuity wasn't so bad. But obviously, my hair had just been like dried by a towel, it looked terrible. And that's the one he chose for the edit. And I'm like, you bastard. But anyway, yeah, it is what it is. But there's one point in it which Jeff has already pointed out.
I love it.
Where you can hear my knees crack in the video. So I jump off this like this lifeguard tower kind of thing. Mm. And at exactly that point, the drums crack like the snare. And it's almost as if you can hear my knees just cracking. Oh, yes. And
I just felt that.
Still feel
when I saw that, I was just like, "Oh, I could feel like the jolt going right up my legs and into my back." I fucked that.
Yeah, on this solid wet sand I jumped onto as well. Yeah, it wasn't good. But anyway, that's now on YouTube. So if you head to the 355s on YouTube, you'll see that video, and yeah, you'll see how wet, cold, and how bad my knees really are.
Are you guys doing anything for Valentine's Day?
It's tomorrow. No, I can't speak today. My mother-in-law, my wife's mother, has got the kids tomorrow, picking them up from school for us so we can do something. But we're like, my wife and I are just like, what are we going to do? I don't know what we're going to do. So we're heading into the city and we're going to watch the Bob Dylan film.
Oh, I hear it's good.
Yeah, I've heard it's good. So we're going to see that, but like early afternoon, you know? Then we'll grab some food somewhere before, you know, before proper evening stuff where they just charge a fortune for shit. And then head back, be with the kids, I suppose. But yeah, nothing real.
Nice. Same for us. Grandparents are going to pick the kid up from school. And then my wife doesn't get off work until, well, I guess she gets off at 4. So, but we're going to go, there are these, I'm sure they have a ton of them in New York. Or I guess everywhere, but they're like these food influencers. But we have a couple cities that Tacoma and Seattle are not really that far from us. And there's especially in Tacoma, which is only about 30 minutes away, there's a lot of really great food, but there's a lot of it and hidden, or there's gems hidden amongst a bunch of crap. And there are people who are really doing some good work trying to dig around and find some of the better spots. And we find them and share them. We have like a folder on Instagram. And so we're going to kind of dig through that and figure out which restaurant we want to go to. And then, most of them, they're not like fancy. They're like hole in the wall kind of spots. So we don't have to make a reservation or anything. We'll just show up and get some food. And then,
yeah, that's the worst. Valentine's, going to a place where you need to reserve.
Oh, fuck.
You know, they're just going to bend you over and just, run away with your money.
Well, and especially if it's like some sort of set meal, they're like often cooking everything in batches. It's not really that good.
Sucks. The food sucks.
It sucks.
Yeah. The food fucking sucks. And unfortunately,
heart-shaped steaks.
We have all these friends who are in the restaurant game around here, and they're getting killed. The restaurant business in our town is not good.
Mm.
So I already got the whole, hey, why don't you and Hillary come in for dinner? And I'm like, we looked at the fucking Valentine's menu, and I'm just like, oh, Jesus Christ. It's some fucking bullshit. It's just I'm looking at it just like you said. It's all the main batches of bullshit, you know. And we're doing it out of spite. We're doing it. We're not
charity.
Not for any reason.
It will not be romantic at all. It'll be like, oh God, what the fuck? We got to choke down this goddamn food. Hillary says, well, why don't maybe we just go if we got a drink. I'm like, no, they're expecting us to eat something. We got to eat something. She's like, I'm looking at this menu. She's like,
they make more money on the drinks anyways.
No, but we got to be good, you know, friends, these restaurant people. So we're
it's very charitable of you.
Yeah, charitable. I'm planning on getting bricked up in there. I'll walk in there and bricked up. All right.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Ready to eat.
You're going to make them regret ready having you come in.
Yeah, ready to eat, baby. What's going on? Nothing.
These oysters are working. Yeah.
I got some Chinese Viagra I got down from Afghanistan up to Dubai. Oh, speaking of which, have you guys had the Dubai chocolate bar?
No.
You know, that's this famous, it's this big Instagram thing. It's called the Dubai chocolate bar. And it's like this, it's got pistachio stuff in the middle. We got one because we saw so many people were, it really, really good.
Okay.
Yeah, really good.
I've never heard of it.
Oh, well, there you go.
All right.
Dubai chocolate bar.
Okay.
Pulling up right now.
Should we call it a day?
Whoa, what the fuck?
It's good. Really
good.
It's
like a mess.
It wasn't a mess. I mean,
I mean, I would try it, but anyways, all right.
There we go. There we go. Right, I think that's a show. Thank you all for listening. We hope you've had a great Valentine's Day. And we shall speak to you again next week. We're here every Monday morning for you. Bye for now.
Hope you get bricked up.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.